There's a great children's story called The Velveteen Rabbit. It's about a cloth toy bunny stuffed with sawdust. He's an outdated toy in a household with fancy new ones. Except for one. An old skin horse in the nursery. He's been there longer than any of the other toys. He's like the sage of the community. One day the rabbit asks the horse a big question. Maybe the biggest one, actually. What is real? Does it mean having things that buzz inside you and stick out handle, he said. To which the horse responded, real isn't how you're made. It's a thing that happens to you. When a child loves you for a long, long time, not just to play with, but really loves you, then you become real. I'm Jacob Lewis, and you're listening to Neighbors, the show where next door hits home, telling surprising stories of ordinary people. Today, our producer Tasha A.F. Limley tells us a story not of a kid, but of a grown-up, taking a lost toy and bringing it to life again. The life that maybe it always had.
True confession. I'm in my early late 30s, happily married, and I sleep with Bear. He's the stuffed animal I've had since I was 8 years old. My mom bought him for me at a grocery store. We picked him out of a huge bin of clones. He's large, brown and flat, with a red bow tie. Bear's been to nearly every U.S. state and more than half a dozen countries with me. He's been to college. He's ridden on planes, trains, and automobiles. And he was hung out of the window of a bus once by a mean kid on a church trip. Bear even survived surgery a couple years ago after a foster dog took out his eye. I've been a closeted bear sleeper. I thought this meant that there was something wrong with me, that I was a freak, or, at best, that I was unwilling to let go of my childhood, or I was trying to come to terms with something. That's until the other day I listened to a podcast with RuPaul. You know, the delightful drag queen in his early mid-50s. And he talked about Jimmy the One-Eyed Donkey. Jimmy's the stuffed animal that Rue has slept with for the last 30 years since he found him on the sidewalk in Atlanta. I felt a rush of relief. I found normalization through RuPaul. So my relief gives way to curiosity, and I want to know what else is out there about this, about people like me. And I found an article that said that 35% of British adults still sleep with their teddy bears. And whether or not that's true, it helped. Now I'm wondering if I know anybody. If there's anyone in my circle who has a fuzzy, inanimate companion. So I decide to call up my friends, my adult friends. Here's Linda, a 20-something-year-old who works providing jobs to homeless people.
Yeah, I would definitely call him a friend. I think I still talk to him sometimes. It's very comforting, like a very comforting thing. We moved so much when I was growing up, and so there were times when I didn't really have a lot of friends, and he was there, you know, And it really feels like a friend or a family at this point. And it's just comforting to see, to know that he's there in my bed.
And Alex, petty officer, second class in the U.S. Navy.
I'll stuff her in my suitcase or in a pillow or something. Because sometimes it's so awkward because, you know, I'm, you know, in my 30s and I still have my stuffed animal, but I kind of don't care. She actually makes a really great, like, if you're sitting up to read, she goes on top of my pillow, so her face is, like, next to mine, and my head is, like, on her chest, and so between her belly and her head, this little space wrap up my head. I guess she's reading, too, I don't know.
And Steven, whom I've known for more than 20 years, since the time I used to copy his world geography homework in high school, and he helped me crash prom the year after we graduated. He's now a performer, barista, and nightlife personality, Steven Satyricon in San Francisco.
You know, this creature is a, you know, one of the few truly concrete links to, you know, almost my entire life. You know, that's really kind of how I look at it. It's like there's very, very, very little. I mean, even like if you look at, you know, the human body on a cellular level, there's almost nothing of me save for, you know, teeth and bones that, are in any way the same material that was there when I was 3 years old. So, you know, this bear, you know, has been with me, like, in on a kind of like a quantum physics sort of level. I, you know, like, there's probably more of me in this bear than there is in me. There's certainly been a few times in my adult life when, you know, I've come home and to an empty house and, you know, things are hard and I see my bear there and I just, you know, pick him up and hug him and, you know, I talk to him sometimes, you know, and I've said oftentimes that, you know, like, you'll always be there with me, you know, and that's, you know, it's comforting. Mm-hmm. And he always has been there for me.
And with my dear 62-year-old friend and adopted aunt, Gwen.
I recognized there was a childlike part of me that still needed comfort when I was feeling insecure. It's only last month when I did a very difficult, painful thing and lost a relationship and cried with it then. And it represented me.
So during all of this stuffed exploration, one day my husband and I were out walking the neighborhood. We live in a pretty hipstery area of town, so we're used to passing flyers illegally stapled to telephone poles. You know, for bands, lost pets, and yard sales. But there was this one that stopped us dead in our tracks. It had a picture of a stuffed donkey on it. And this donkey's surrounded by 8 stuffed llamas. The donkey's holding a sign. It says, "I'm making lots of friends, but I miss my favorite one." The top of the flyer says "Lost Friend" in big bold letters. And the bottom of the flyer has a description of where the donkey was found and a number to call if someone can prove it's theirs. We stop, and we take a picture, and we move on. But there's another flyer, and another one. Each has the same donkey in different scenarios, and he's holding different signs with different emotional pleas to find his home. So we're wondering, is this for real? This is an art project or something. Or could it be that someone just really cares about a stuffed donkey lost on a sidewalk? Just like RuPaul. I have to know. And so I call the number and leave a message. I get a call back from Matthew Laird. We meet up at his apartment. It's a wonderfully modest duplex just down the street from me. Extremely clean. There are creatures on most surfaces. There's a pirate octopus named Scurvy. He's sharing a chair with a wire horse head mask.
That is actually a costume piece from a production of Equus from last year.
There's a giant moon face in a cowboy hat. And then Matthew presents Bjorn, a mighty Viking warrior. He's a puppet.
"I will be the mightiest Viking warrior, and I will take my ship to the moon."
Matthew is a professional puppeteer in his 20s with an extremely cultivated look. He's super cute. He's wearing a fedora, a well-trimmed beard, and a vest. There's something like a keffiyeh around his neck. He's pretty specific. I ask him about the lost donkey.
"I was walking to Portland Brew to grab some coffee, and I saw this little donkey laying on the side of the road. And he was, like, you can see that he's been well-loved."
Yeah.
"And I was just immediately kind of slightly heartbroken that he was on the side of the road. So I decided to pick him up. I've cleaned him, brushed his mane out a little bit, and I put together some fun scenes where the donkey was holding little signs kind of asking to be brought back to his or her child. And I've kind of posted those around the neighborhood, hoping that maybe someone will see it and call the number I set up and I can get this back to the kid."
Yeah.
"Because it's just when you develop an attachment to a stuffed animal, especially as a kid, it just means a lot."
He's right. It does mean a lot. And in fact, I've never quite gotten over losing one of my unicorns on a field trip in fifth grade. I don't know what I'd do if I lost Bear. Matthew had his own experience as a kid when he lost his favorite Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle in a park one day. But his love for these creatures goes back further than that.
Between the ages of 3 and 5, I had this, and I still have him, this Grover stuffed animal. And I was really angry that my Grover didn't talk to me like Grover on the TV did. So one day after he'd already started getting a little threadbare, I decided to rip open the back of his head, pull out the stuffing, and start making him talk. Wow. And that's been a lifelong kind of obsession with puppetry and making things move and character creation since then.
Between the ages of 3 and 5, you had this sense of unfairness.
Like, yeah, it just wasn't fair. Like, there was this magical window screen where all the characters were talking to me, but everything I had was mundane and lifeless. But just adding movement, and that's really why I got into building puppets. It's adding life to a character.
He goes on to get a degree in puppetry, and his family's really supportive. In fact, they're so supportive, his mom thinks everyone should get involved. She loves the hobby, and she eventually ends up leaving her job as a school teacher to become a professional traveling ventriloquist. So this runs in the family.
I'm single-handedly responsible for destroying my mom's teaching career.
Right.
Matt now has a job at Animax Designs, a high-end 3D character design and fabrication studio in Nashville. He helps other people's characters come to life, professionally.
Puppetry really is one of the purest forms of actual magic on the planet, because you can take that inanimate object and you can actually breathe life into it.
As far as our donkey goes, and there haven't been any leads yet, but Matthew has plans if no one comes through.
Well, I think I'll give it, 4 or 5 weeks. After that, he's probably going to sort of join my little world of characters. I really kind of have fallen in love with this idea of the searching stuffed animal. So what I'll probably end up doing is putting armature wire inside the donkey's body, giving him a bit of an artificial skeleton that can move and be posed in different ways. And then since with the work I do, I kind of travel around a little bit, I'll probably just start maybe a little fun Facebook page, or just maybe even just photo document for my own enjoyment. Just this donkey constantly searching, and then he'll probably get little hats or outfits or something. I'd love to see him in a little pith helmet, but I'd have to make one to fit him. Especially in our culture, we have this obsession with endings, but endings that aren't actual endings. Like, happily ever after is the most infuriating phrase in the universe, because it's not an end. There's still things that happen, but apparently there's no sadness. Mm-hmm. And that seems like a little special type of hell, honestly, if you just have to be happy all the time. If the donkey ends up staying with me, I'm kind of okay with this character who's constantly searching, because even when we as people hit milestones in our lives, it's a milestone, and you have to keep walking until you're done. And so, I kind of like the searching donkey as a metaphor for that. He's always looking for that place he came from, which, we're all trying to recapture something.
Maybe he's right. Maybe I'm trying to recapture some sort of comfort. Or when I'm far away, bring some with me. Like when Bear got stuffed in my backpack last minute, right before we took off to India on our honeymoon. I'm keeping a piece of home with me and carrying a soft place to rest. At least I know now that I'm in good company. Matthew's art is just a tangible way of presenting how we already feel about these creatures and how I feel about my bear. Like Pinocchio, they're real to us, even as adults, and they still speak truth about our lives. Matthew brings them to life. He literally gives them their voice. He gives them articulation, and he lets them tell the story about loving us back and forever looking for us when we get lost. Special thanks to everyone who came out of the stuffed animal closet with me for this story, and to my husband, Mark Limley, amateur thumb pianist, for his help with the music and for sharing our bed with my bear, and to Joe Pagetta for his song, Where the Little Things Are. It's available on iTunes. For Neighbors, I'm Tasha A.F. Limley in Nashville. When I was 5
teddy bear. He had one eye.
Neighbors is produced by Tasha A.F. Lindley, Bailey Robbins, and me, Jacob Lewis. This episode of Neighbors is brought to you by Baja Burrito, doing it the hard way since Y2K. Located in the Berry Hill neighborhood of Nashville, Tennessee. Try the barbecue brisket taco. It pairs nicely with their fruit tea and some chips and salsa. And I've got to say, they also have the coolest t-shirts in town. Not something you usually say about a restaurant, but they're awesome. Check them out. You may remember that the last episode was two stories of people going to church for two very different reasons. At the end of that episode, I put the call out for your stories of going to church. Any story, good or bad, about your religious experience is welcome. I'm compiling them for a special episode made up of your voices. If you'd like to share your story, call and leave me a message at 818-927-2346. Neighbors is a proud and founding member of The Herd. One of the shows in The Herd is First Day Back.
Hi, I'm Tally, and this is First Day Back, my podcast about getting back to work after the longest maternity leave ever. I'm a documentary filmmaker in Montreal and the mom of two boys.
When I work at home, is that work? When I'm like cleaning and cooking and stuff like that?
Yeah, that's work, but it's not your job's work.
I ran into my old producer the other day and she said, "Oh, but we wrote you off a long time ago." I don't think she was trying to crush my spirit. I actually think she was trying to let me off the hook.
I thought your answer was going to be that mummies should stay with their kids all the time.
Why?
Well, just because I thought that's what you would prefer, to stay with me all the time.
Well, I'm okay without you.
Ouch.
You can find a link to First Day Back and all the Herd shows at theherdradio.com. That's H-E-A-R-D. Well, I'm Jacob Lewis, and as always, I'm reminding you to get to know your neighbors.